Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing upon blessing that you have given us, personally in our lives and in the country that we live in. Thank you. And we ask that you watch over each one of us to guide and protect us. May we do what is right and pleasing in your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. There have always been people that have every appearance of being godly people who have warned us about the future. At times, the talk has been enough to cause us to have concern. And I have heard that kind of warnings for 30 years now. And those really big events just didn't quite happen the way we expected, anyway. I think that is why people that have words of warnings are kind of dismissed, because they warn, but the event that they talk about doesn't exactly happen. Just maybe it did not happen because of the prayers of God's people. Or maybe it did not happen because some sin was eliminated, or because of God's mercy. And we do know that our God is a God of mercy, but he also is a God of righteousness. And that righteousness means that he will judge rightly at some point. So it goes that we look and we think and we try to figure out what we can, but our understanding is limited. And we do get some pretty good ideas about the direction that things are going and the general themes that are around us. Going back some years in my life before I came to Christ, I did a lot of study of the economies of the world, and here and there from a worldly perspective, because that's the way I thought. So in life, I have been aware of the problems and the fragility of our U.S. dollar and the world monetary system for a long time. Later on, I began to grasp the same areas of reality from a spiritual, a godly perspective. So when I see that is going on today, I see simple consequences of the decisions we have made as a people and as a country, and as an economy, which is rapidly turning into a one-world economy. So we have consequences, and that's what's going on. It is so very logical. I think that if anybody were to take a good look at the progression of things, we would see that this one-world position is the obvious end goal of what is going on. It is obvious to many that this system, the system which we are now a part of, has to fail. It must fail so that it can be replaced with a new one-world system. We understand this logic, but we all wonder at the timing of what is going to happen and when it is going to happen. We wonder about that. I look at different people all over the place, yes, in the United States and in other parts of the world also. I try to get their perspective. and I try to understand the time. Well, the timing, and also that the time is approaching, that these, let's call them prophetic people, have warned us about in the past. See, I have just been hearing a whole new bunch of people shouting out a warning. And because of my life experience, you know, for what I've heard and what I think, I understand the words and the examples maybe a little different from other people, but I do grasp concern about what's going on from a Christian perspective and from a worldly perspective, because when systems go through a stressful period of time or as much as a collapse even, it is a very great hardship on the people around us, the people that are in the system. And I know there are a lot of people who do have these thoughts in mind, right along these same lines of thinking. There's quite a few people who have the sense that something big and bad is going to happen. But there is a big difference of thinking, a difference of opinion, a difference of strategy about when it's going to happen and what anyone should do about it. So we can have people who think the basics of trouble's coming, and that's kind of been the way it's always been, but you have to be motivated to look a little deeper. Your motivation, I hope, will be to see what changes you can do to make things better for you and your loved ones if something really big and bad does come along. We all want to get through any times of difficulty that are coming. And maybe you're one of those people who just think that everything's going to go on and continue as it always have been. Well, there are people like that, more than a few, a lot. But the idea that I hope we all have is to look at these things spiritually, and especially be spiritually prepared to meet God, because we never know when the last day of our life will be. We just don't know. And I hope that you have physical preparations also, because that's another thing we just don't know. I think the example of what happened a few months ago with supplies running low and running out and being unavailable, that should be a lesson for us to have what we want on hand so that we don't have to run to the store if we have an immediate need, whatever that is, for Band-Aids, for toilet paper, for food, for anything, a little tool or whatever it is. But I think about having the basics of preparedness, and that is always, water, but water filter, a good water filter. Food and warmth, those are the kind of things we just need to survive and get by. You can't do without any of those. And people have other ideas, and if you have other ideas, that's good, that's fine, go ahead and act on them. It's just that those are the ones we need to live. I remember a man like 25 years ago, and it's kind of funny, I didn't really like him. I didn't, but But he had all the right words and talked about all the right belief about in God. And as I heard his story, it is that he came from a very high up Illuminati family, a family that worshipped that which was dark, Satan, and the things that are the opposite of God. So I have the sense that what I didn't care to see in him were habits of the old life, or not habits, but mannerisms. But he certainly was a changed man, and that's the thing that I really remember about him, that he was a changed man. He realized the true source of power and of everything in life was Jesus. And he became a follower of Jesus Christ, even though everyone was against him for doing that. In fact, his life could have been gone at any point. He could have been killed because of his change over from the dark side to Jesus Christ. And he would tell people that he was a sold out, born again follower of Jesus Christ. And he knew that he could not tell what his life was going to be about again, if he would live another day, because in a family like that and in a society like that, you just don't get to turn away. And he knew it. But at the point he was giving his testimony, he was, of course, still alive and praising Jesus Christ. So it was quite a story. And that happened right about the time when I was really searching out God to try to understand God. And if you've heard me say that it took me a few years on that journey to discover Jesus, and it was quite involved for me. But anyway, so I was realizing about Jesus at that time, and it was so noticeable that he was, in his words, a sold-out, born-again follower of Jesus Christ, and that did make an impression on me. So I have to say that my point of view of this, or what had gone on, was changed, because now I'm that sold-out, born-again follower of Jesus Christ. But at the time, it was kind of interesting, and it was very notable to me that he had changed his belief system around. Yep, I guess we all do, to a degree. Well, I do salute the courage of anyone's conviction to boldly speak as he did, and as many of us do, and tell our story. It is just an amazing strength that we have in Jesus Christ. Just amazing. And we all want to have that kind of dedication, faithfulness to Jesus Christ. Well, that was a story. And may we each be as dedicated as he was or is. Yep, let each one of us live for Jesus each and every day. Each one of us be willing to offer our life to Jesus day by day or all at one time. We never know. We never know just quite how things are going to come across. So let us be willing. He gave his life for us, and we want to give our life for him, one way or another, a minute at a time or all at once. It it's different for every one of us. So let's see, Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. See, that's what we have our desire to do each day. Each day. Let's see, verse 2. 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, we believe this. Yes, we are believers. And so let us remember to demonstrate this belief in how we live. Belief is good, and acting on it is appropriate. See, in life we have so many things. We have to consider the things that are of this world and the things that are of eternity. We think about of our heavenly reward or righteousness, and so we want to demonstrate our faith and our belief. It's pretty hard sometimes because we live in this world with so much going on in it that is, not of God. And then we have things that just keep us busy or distract us. I don't know. I was just thinking about the locusts that are eating up the food crops around the world. And people need food to live, but those locusts, they are coming around in huge swarms. That's going on now in Africa, South America, the Middle East, and now Asia. Swarms here and there. And pretty soon, it could be a really big dent in our world food supply. And you think we're not affected by it here in the United States? Well, maybe we're not, but we could be. And I do remember, reading about the grasshopper swarms, but I was in one once, and I just couldn't believe how they really did eat what you had. And right there, they ate your paper, they ate your book, they ate your little holes in your clothes, and it was just so quick. Well, anyway, we do have to appreciate what we have, and that is as basic as the food we eat. I know, just, was it 2 days ago? I was going to make oatmeal, and I opened the container, and two moths flew out. You know, I am so spoiled. I did not make oatmeal with that oatmeal. The moths just didn't. Anyway, you understand. So I still thought about the people who don't have enough food, and they are hungry, and I'm pretty sure that they would have eaten that oatmeal, but I'm so spoiled, I didn't. But I thought about the people who had written about the experience of going hungry. It's pretty powerful to think about what you do when you're hungry. I know I have been hungry in the past, and really, I'm sure I would have eaten oatmeal with two moths in it, but not those couple of days ago. I thought, that makes me think of a conversation I had with my grandmother. Now, that was a long time ago. That was about 1970, and she was old. In fact, she was born in the late 1800s. So, let's see, it was about 1970, and I told her that the harm that we were doing to our environment with the pesticides and how bad they were. And I was so shocked to hear her say how much she loved pesticides. Oh, I was shocked. Grandmother, why would you say that? And she answered, because when she was growing up, every Brussels sprout had at least one worm in it. And now, the Brussels sprouts that you can buy in the store don't have any worms. And that was because of pesticides. That's why she loved pesticides. Boy, that is a funny story. Yeah, well, we have so many advantages with our modern farming and with really wonderful foods that we have. So it's just, it's a different sort of a thing when you consider the state of the world, though, and what would happen if we really did have starving, hungry people in the world. We also want to remember to show compassion for all sorts of people in the world. People are dying from hunger in the world. People are getting skinny, because of not enough food in the world. And, I mean, they're our neighbors too. We ought to care for them. And so I think about sending a few dollars their way to an organization, especially if it's a church or a Christian mission group or something like that. Just a few extra dollars. Can you just go out of your way and send a few dollars to somebody? I think that's a really good thing. And if you can't, you can certainly send a prayer their way. Ask God for their for mercy and blessings upon them. So we have things going on in this country that are really pretty. They're changing the way we live. And people are not going to their normal jobs right now, you know, because of the virus. And there are people who don't have enough food, even in this country. And there are tons of food that have been thrown out, just dumped. So I think we just can remember that, well, here, the United Nations, which office was it? One branch of the United Nations estimated that because of what the virus was doing to the jobs in the world, that enough food was not being produced. And so 2 million people would die in the world from hunger. Yeah, but it is very interesting when you try to look up the numbers, because they vary by so much. That's one of the things that we all have a trouble with. There are people who cite the numbers and use them to make an argument. But the numbers can change. There's a big difference in who says what. And we try to figure it out and make things work. Often it's to the way we want things to be worked out and not according to fact or truth. And that's just one of the manipulations that go on. Just like everything, we know people that do it. Certainly our people in our government do it. You know, the people in our government, sure, they're people too, but they are pretty much very rich. The people in our Congress and senators, they have an average net worth of $1 million each. And that compares to the average U.S. citizen that has a net worth of $100,000. So that's one-tenth of what our representatives in the high branches of our government have in the way of assets. So we can realize that they may or may not be sensitive to the needs of the regular people in the United States. It's just something we all get to deal with, try to figure out, try to understand, and try to convey the things that are important to us to them. That's a part of representative government. So I look at all the numbers and I try to figure them out. And we all do that. And sometimes there are conflicts in the numbers, and what they would therefore mean, but we have to get some basics understanding. It's just pretty hard when you realize that so many people in positions of power and authority are rich. I mean, millionaires, or some are billionaires. It's just huge. What a huge difference in the thinking that goes on. Rich people think different than poor people. And in the Federal Reserve, there are lots of rich people. There again, they are worth, if I recall correct, it was an average of $12 million for the average assets of a Federal Reserve president or the chairman. And they are in charge of money policies. And you know, well, it's human anyway for people to look after their own interests. So we try to figure out what's going on and make sense of things so that we can do things that are good for us too. And we have things going on in the economy that are really stressing the economy out. And what that shows me is it destabilizes business. And business needs stability to increase. Stable business situations and stable money. And just lately, the Federal Reserve has been printing lots and lots of money. Now, they've always done this ever since their creation in 1913. But since September of 2019, they have just done this and that to increase the supply of U.S. dollars. So, yeah, they were trying to stimulate the economy. There's no doubt about that. And the other thing was, if they had not have put that money into the economy, what would have happened? Oh, it could have been serious instead of pretty good where it is today. But we do try to understand what the technical words are that the bankers and the high-up money people know, and the Federal Reserve people know. Now, we know the common ones like QE, quantitative easing, or a credit expansion, or adding to the Federal Reserve balance sheet. But what it all means, and there's another five or eight more terms, what it all means is that they are, in effect, printing more and more dollars. Yeah, putting it onto a computer screen, really. But the important thing that I see is to recognize that this is going on. Printing of currency, adding billions and even hundreds of billions in electronic dollars to our economic system. Will that have an impact on us? Oh, yeah, I think it will. I sure do. Don't you think so? I mean, think about it. If somebody has $100 to spend this week, and all of a sudden, next week, they have $50,000 that, let's just say, they inherited it, they're going to think different about money. Now, most people are going to spend it, and there will be a few who will put it into assets, or let's call it savings, or something for the future. That's not most people. And that's why the thinking of these high-level government people is different from us regular people. And we can be aware of it and try to figure it out, what it means and what is going to happen with the dollars, with our economy. And we do have to guess. That's about all we could do. Guess what would happen. And see, I also wonder about what would happen if the Federal Reserve had not put all those dollars into the economy. Would our economy have crashed? Would the United States dollar have lost lots and lots of value. Could be. So now, it's not just a trend in the United States. This is going on all over the world. And, some people have talked about China a lot as being a good market, but they have so many scandals going on there. They always have, but they still do. And right now, let's see, there was one that was about a bank taking gold bars as collateral and loaning money on that gold, which they took as collateral. And then they found out that 42% of those gold bars were actually copper with a gold coating over them. So they lent good money for fake gold, and that is a problem. But there's lots of problems in China's economy, and we just don't see it because we're not there. That's one of the problems which with thinking about having them take over the manufacturing and supply of so many things that we need. Well, there are, 66 large banks in China. Of those 66 large banks, 64 of them have missed payments to their large investors in the last several years. So you know that if they're missing payments, it is a sign of weakness or bad management or something. It just goes to show that China's economy is not what some people think it is. So, you know, over in this country, a lot of people have missed payments too. Of the businesses here in the United States, it has been estimated that 4 out of 5 restaurants paid only half of the rent in June. Maybe not even half of the rent. And with other businesses, it's not so much different. Businesses cannot produce what they sell, but they still have to pay rent on their businesses, on their buildings. And so a lot of rent money is going unpaid in the United States. And that is a problem for the banks, and we will see what happens. It just, we have some things that are not going so good here. And we ought to be aware that there are stresses and strains in our economy. And with the United States economy slowing way, way down because of the virus that's going around, and it's going around in the whole world economy too. And there is plenty of people who are concerned that there will be a worldwide crash. And there's quite a few people who are saying that it will be as bad or worse than the 1930s depression. And just like that depression, it will take at least 10 years to recover from it. So that's what some business people are talking about, some economists. These are real possibilities. And is it better to just go into the future and not know of the trouble? Or is it better to have an idea of what could come and take steps to reduce the problems that just might come? We are all different. And when I talk about the problems, there are some people who just don't want to hear one thing about it. And there are other people who have to hear the problem to realize, oh, now I better do something about it. Well, savings is always one thing we can do. Pay off our debt and have savings. That's one answer that we all wish we could do. Some can do it, some can't. But it's a good goal to have. We do have lots of problems in our country, and part of it is the borrowing that's going on. And, well, we're going to have troubles one way or another. We have choices. It's all a lot of personal choices. It's not that anyone can make those choices for you. You are the one who has to figure it out. You have to think about it. It's not like you would want me to make a decision for you on what to eat or what clothes you ought to wear. No, of course not. You want to make your own choices. And so that's what I'm trying to encourage you to do, is to choose, make choices about what to do with the income you have and how to reduce your liabilities if there is a depression. What would you do different? And of course, I think of what kind of things are important. I think of food, of course, water, food, and warmth. Those are the basics that I think about. And I also think with the problems that are coming, there could be an electrical problem, and we could have to go without electricity. So when I say have grain, I also mean have a manual grain grinder and have flashlights. So you can figure it out what you want to do, but I think do something. If you do nothing, you are going to be just as prepared as you are today. Are you prepared for a national disaster? Are you prepared for a hurricane, for a lights-out situation that lasts for 3 weeks or 3 months? Lots of different opinions for what could happen. And I think I'll talk about prophetic voices, you know, because right now there are people who are saying that they have something from God, a word from God, a dream from God. And well, firstly, we have to be aware of the big voice from God, and that is the Bible. And what part applies to us now at this time? Are we getting to the end of days? If we are, then Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21 all talk about what is happening in the days before Jesus returns. Earthquakes, famine, and war. Famine, war, and earthquakes, whatever order you want to put it in. There are events that are going to happen, and we know them. So we might not be able to do anything about famine or about war. Well, let me say that different. Maybe you can't do anything about war or earthquakes, but famine we can do something about. We can all have food on hand, and that means with good water. So think about what you can do to keep living healthy. It's something you have to decide. It's not one answer. It's something that you have to examine and decide for yourself. So take a few minutes and look at it so that you don't suffer. Your loved ones don't suffer. And then think about what I like to say is first dream about it. If you could have anything you wanted, what would it be? And think about that in terms of a goal. Oh, I wish I could have this. Oh, I wish I could have that. Oh, if I could only have an extra whatever dollars you need. What would you do? Okay, that's a dream. Now try to figure out what you can do with your time and your money. Because things can happen. After all, they already have. Remember the recent toilet paper shortage? So if there is a need for food or whatever it is, you know that it's not going to be easy to get what you want. So get what you want while you can. And otherwise, you have some pretty big consequences. So I remember there was about 20 years ago, there were people who talked prophetically about what was coming. And it's not that I could really agree with them or not, but there was a certain uniformity. Civil war, famine, earthquakes, all sorts of war, and even the occupation of America. So that's the kind of things that have been said by numerous people 20 years ago. And do you think that it's changed any? Have things gotten better or worse? Do you suppose that we will have any more reason to have destruction coming upon our nation? I don't know. But I know there are people who's talked about those things in the past, roughly 20 years ago. David Wilkerson, Benjamin Baruch, Henry Groover, Dmitri Dudeman, they all talked about that. Now, you know, it's kind of like looking at the blind people looking with their hands at an elephant. They have a little description of the elephant, but they could recognize that there was something big in front of them. And nowadays, there are people also. Just more recently, there was Kim Clement who said something. But now in the last months, there have been a bunch of people who have spoke about their dreams and visions. Let's see, there was Ricky Scapiro who said, "Brace yourself." And a month ago, there was a lady named Liberty who said, "A storm is coming, brace yourself." And then a couple of weeks ago, a preacher pastor named Dana Coverstone from Kentucky, he had a series of dreams which he told a lot of people about. And he said, "Brace yourself." So there is a common thread between people, and that was those words, "Brace yourself. Strengthen yourself for what's coming." I don't mean I know what it is, but I do know that I hear what people say, and I think about it. So God did not give me a dream like that, but he did give me an ability to recognize a uniform theme. And so I'm passing it on to you. I think it's a word of warning. Brace yourself. And that can be in different ways. It can be in terms of money. Now, my history has been watching things that are about money. And so I have a natural thinking. And I have talked with Christians about that. And, well, let's see. I should just say that local Christians here who I talk to have had a sense that something really big is going to hit us hard. And it's not like we know what it is, but I would not discount the feeling when it is so uniform. Yeah. There's a certain consistency with the messages in the last months and those from a few years ago and those from 20 years ago. Now, you can try to figure it out. I have looked into it too and try to understand what it means for you. What should you do? Well, that Pastor Dana Coverstone from Kentucky, he got a lot of people talking about what he said in his dreams. And people were pretty sympathetic. They listened to what he had to say and said, "Yeah, it could be." But the Christian community does not like to embrace something like that because it's kind of unusual to say, "Hey, look out, the sky is falling." I guess. Oh, that was my sense of humor. But let me go to Dale. Think about Dale Coverstone, and what he saw in his dream was there was a hand tapping on the calendar for the month of September, and in the month of November, the calendar was struck with a fist, not tapping, but a fist. And so he has had some dreams about what was going on. Yeah, he did that, let's see, I think it was December. He had some dreams, and they proved accurate. So when he had these dreams. He said, oh, these might be accurate too, so I'm going to tell somebody. And that's what he did. He told about the chaos coming, the fighting coming, the businesses getting closed up and shuttered, the schools closing, the banks with their roofs taken off and money flying out, and politicians in background rooms making deals. That's the kind of thing that was in his dream. He also talked about people being rounded up and that there were Russian and Chinese soldiers on American soil. So, what are we going to believe about it? The theme, this is what bothers me, is that the theme has been consistent for 30 years. That this is the kind of thing that gets talked about. So, I don't mean I know that it'll happen, and I don't mean I know when it'll happen. But if it is going to happen, I think there's something that each one of us can do to get ready for it. And I think the most basic need that we have is food. Well, water and food. So I encourage everybody to think in that way for preparedness. Because if we have a hard time, it'll be hard and hurt. So we don't want that. We don't want you to hurt. We don't want anyone to hurt. And there's something we can do to reduce hunger, and that is to have some food. That's your decision for what to do about food and what will last and what won't, or even if this message has any validity or not. This is for you to decide and try to figure out, just like I have tried to figure it out. And I think that it is right that I tell you about it. Not that I'm telling you what to do. I'm just telling you somebody said this, and the theme has been uniform for a long time. So you get to figure out what you would do with it. What does it mean when somebody has a dream? A dream about people hiding and homes burning and gunfire, constant gunfire in the dreams. That's what the Dana Coverstone talked about. And then the words, brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself, and endure to the end. It was a somber dream, very serious. So people are talking about it on the internet. Maybe you've heard about it, maybe you haven't. But I think it's fine to look at these kind of things, and maybe you're concerned, maybe you aren't. If you are, do something about it. Hey, make a plan. Write it out so that you can see what your plan is and take those steps to carry it out. There's lots of people who have had prophetic words in the past. And, some of them just don't come true at all. But maybe I just don't wait long enough. There are other people who have told about the Russian and Chinese soldiers in America and helping out and then refusing to leave. Something about a great big earthquake in the United States. I don't know. I don't know what to say. But the uniformity of the theme is what just makes me think more about it. I don't know. Our soldiers are all overseas, and maybe we, as a nation, feel that we have to have our commitment to the nations overseas. But that just means our soldiers are not here if we need them. These are all things about maybes and might, and they may happen, they may not happen. Have a look at it. I also think that one of the things is that maybe we will repent as a nation, just like Nineveh did. That 2,000 years ago, after Jonah preached, and there was prayer and fasting, and judgment was delayed for Nineveh. Well, they didn't turn from their wicked ways, and so God judged the nation. It's certainly a big question about what we believe, and I just think I have to tell you about this because this is a possibility. It's a possibility of what could happen. Maybe you can put some prayer time into it. Maybe you can fast about it. If there is a little bit of truth that you feel, then look further. Decide what to do. And don't be scared. Definitely don't be scared. Just think about what to do. When we do things that are reasonable and right, it becomes a plan and a way to overcome any difficulties that there are. So don't be scared. Just think about, if it is a concern, what would you do about it? How would you advise somebody else if they heard it? That's another way to kind of keep a little distance on it. Or think, what would Jesus to have you do? It's a good question. What would you do if some sort of chaos was coming? I know one thing you would do, well, I think, and that is you would want to know how to lead people to Christ. And probably you would want to be available to those people later on to help them with their spiritual journey and their relation with Jesus Christ. So, let's see, I've heard pastors lead people to Jesus Christ, and it is so essential that the heart of whoever you are talking to is willing to belong to Jesus. So this is kind of what I'm thinking about. Pastors have said, they talk about giving their life to Jesus, about repenting and turning from your sins, and acknowledge and thank God for going to the cross in your place, and then that Christ rose from the dead, so you can too. You invite Jesus to live in your heart as your Lord and your Savior, and then you're born again into the kingdom of God. So yeah, think about, what would you say to somebody who wanted to be saved? What are those basics? Practice speaking them so that you can know what to say at the right time to bring an unbelieving person to belief in Jesus Christ and become born again into the kingdom of God. God, Jesus, can and will conquer all things. And when we belong to Him, I see that there is absolutely nothing to fear. We can be assured that our future is in heaven with Jesus. And that's, I think, the very most important thing for whatever happens, whether we have some serious times coming up or everything is just staying on the same course that it has been going on. Jesus is the important part. So sometimes it is hard, especially for when we're in the world, to think about the spiritual part and think about Jesus instead of our all the things going on in our life and what we have to deal with in the way of, oh, sometimes they're problems and sometimes they're just situations. So try to focus on Jesus. Read the Bible. The Bible gives us all sorts of understanding about how absolutely wonderful our heavenly life will be and our relationship with Jesus Christ. So this is the kind of things we think about. There are plenty of other people these days who are talking about trouble coming. They're popular people, too. Perry Stone is one of them. And if you know him, you will know that he talks about it. Tom Horn has written a book called The Wormwood Prophecy. And Tom Horn has quite a few people who like him, too. So there are people who see some pretty serious things coming, like, will an asteroid hit the Earth? In a way, it doesn't matter. So if we have our whole life here of 60 years, 70 years, 100 years, that's good. But the more important thing is that we spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. And so we get to look at having that relation with Jesus, praying to Jesus, and remember all the good and amazing things that Jesus can, will, and does do. The spiritual power of Jesus Christ is absolutely amazing, and we can bring his strength into situations that we face every day, and he overcomes the darkness of this world. That's what we have in Jesus Christ. We have light. We have all good things when we have Jesus. There can be miracles. There can be just lots of good things. The miracles have gone on since ancient times, from Hezekiah and the sun going backwards, and you know that shortened the day here, but it lengthened the day in China, and that's what the Chinese astronomers have said in the records. So there's lots of things to consider. Think about the what ifs, and some of those what ifs include, what if the grid goes down? What if we don't have electricity for a few years? What do the experts say? And which experts are you going to listen to? It's all a question. Just have a think about the what if and be thankful for all the wonderful things that we each do have. We each have this earth that we give thanks for, with the seasons and the warmth and the cool. And it's wonderful. So think about all the blessings you have. Sure, prepare if you want to. It's a good thing. But do it with thought, have a plan, and try to figure that out. If you want some help in figuring what kind of things I think about for preparedness, then write me a letter, and I will send you my ideas with a little pamphlet that I have. Please send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And remember, if you want to listen to me again on www.christtoday.org, you can hear me. Thank you. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you.